This is CliffCentral.com.
What I do want to do is go to Pramesh Chandran, who I actually met in Bonn in Germany just a couple of days ago in June. We met and we spoke about free speech in polarized societies, the state of journalism, and he's on the line via Skype to talk to us this morning, all the way from, where are you at the moment? Pramesh, where are you?
Hi, Cliff. I'm in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia.
Very good, man. Nice
a couple of thousand miles away.
Nice to talk to you again.
Nice to talk to you too.
Now, Pramesh, the last time we spoke, I asked you all about Malaysia, and I asked you about the state of free speech in Malaysia, because there was obviously a reason that we were all four chosen for that panel. And you told me some interesting things that I did not know. What exactly is going on politically in Malaysia right at the moment? Help us to understand.
Well, Malaysia has been independent for 60 years. It's our 60th year of independence. And essentially one coalition of parties has been in power for these 60 years. There's been no transfer of power. And that has been done through, fairly restrictive civil liberties, so control over the media, control over the elections. So it's been pretty difficult having a functioning democracy, although we have elections every 5 years, essentially, one party comes back. And that's been very difficult for media to operate freely.
Well, you've been a teacher, a labor researcher, a journalist, and you are the co-founder and chief executive officer of MalaysiaKini.com, which is the top independent online media business in Malaysia. Apparently, you reach over 5 million readers monthly in 4 different languages. That sounds like an enormous operation.
Yeah, we've been going for 18 years. We launched in 1999. The interesting thing about Malaysia is that, in the mid-90s, the government wanted to attract investment into the IT and the internet sector, and they agreed to keep the internet free of censorship. So while, print and broadcast are fairly restricted, you get much more space online. And then, of course, with the growth of social media and mobile phones, today, the internet space is kind of the most robust and most, read space for news. In Malaysia, access to the internet is up to 80%. So we have very high, high use of the internet. So this is why Malaysia Kini is able to, come online and produce good content and, get a very large readership and also make our business sustainable and profitable since 2008.
Do the government encroach upon your freedom of speech as an independent media organization? Are there always predations upon that by people in society who support the government?
Yes, I think that, there is some amount of, harassment. We have had a whole list of defamation cases filed against us, including a current ongoing case by the Prime Minister himself, with First Media he sued, and as well as the ruling party has also sued us. There are also criminal charges against myself and my partner, Stephen, who's the editor for, a video that we've published. So there's an ongoing, kind of a tense relationship, with the government of the day, but we're able to stand our ground and do our independent reporting.
Well, all the way here in South Africa, it sometimes feels to us like Malaysia is a different universe. What are the major political issues in Malaysia, if you think about the things that get people fired up, the things that get people talking on social media, the things that dominate the headlines in your own independent papers?
Malaysia and South Africa has much in common. Our politics is very driven by race, by religion, by ethnicity. Our political parties, majority of the political parties are along those lines, and then they form coalitions to try to, get the vote. So we've had this sort of religious and ethnic tension in the country for a very long time.
Right.
But that's kind of the front line of politics, but behind it, whenever you have one party in power for too long, the real issue is the kind of corruption, the abuse of power, and for the people, it's jobs, it's rising prices, many things that you also face in South Africa.
Do you know much about what's going on here in terms of our own politics at the moment, aside from what you managed to read? Are people at all interested in what's happening in Africa?
Well, obviously during the apartheid era, South Africa was a major focus, and we're all glad that, perhaps that era is over. and there's been changes. But I know you read the news now, and there are also a lot of allegations of corruption and abuse of power. And I think that happens whenever one party is in power for too long.
Yeah, that's precisely what we've got a situation with here, is that our own party that won the first elections that our free country voted in 1994 have retained power all the way up to now. And for the first time ever, it looks like they're starting to become vulnerable.
Yeah, I think you know that, you know, any healthy democracy, you know, you need a few parties, at least two parties, you know, vying for power and possibly for a change. And that makes everybody accountable, you know, that everybody wants to start performing better when they know they could lose power.
Right. Now, what about all the other places around you? What sort of international relations do you have with your immediate neighbors, Indonesia, Laos, even Bangladesh and India, slightly to the other side? What sort of relations do you have with China, for example, in Malaysia?
Malaysia is part of the Association for Southeast Asian Nations, also known as ASEAN. It's a grouping of 10 countries, you know, sandwiched between China and India. So China and India have been always the big powers, and Southeast Asia is kind of in the middle. But as a market, we are 600 million people, so it's a huge market. If you take, you know, China's 1.2 billion, India is about a billion plus, and, you know, Southeast Asia is 600 million. So it's a pretty huge market. It's always been very contested. We've had, you know, communist-led countries such as Vietnam and, you know, one time Cambodia and Laos. We've had, you know, authoritarian rules of the likes of Marcos and Suharto in Indonesia. We currently have a military rule in Thailand. We used to have a military rule in Burma. So it's really kind of, you know, hotspot. You know, Singapore is a successful state, but also, you know, without a change of government since their independence in the 1960s. So essentially, Malaysia and ASEAN, there's been no major conflict, there are no wars, and they have a principle of non-interference where, you know, each country does not interfere in the others. But of course, recently, Southeast Asia has become much more dependent on China, and China is actually investing significantly in Southeast Asia, in Malaysia, you know, there's been a lot of corruption scandals in Malaysia. And you may have heard that the U.S. Department of Justice has filed a kleptocracy case against our prime minister and seizing assets over $1 billion U.S. dollars in the U.S., biggest kleptocracy asset seizure in U.S. history. And, you know, in the wake of that that charges of these assets, Malaysia has now turned to China and has signed a few billion dollar deals with China in terms of, you know, Chinese investment. So I think any Chinese investment into the country is, of course, in one sense welcome. But however, if they are, you know, the strategic considerations, then, you know, that's something of concern.
Are you telling me that that's the largest case of corruption ever lodged in America?
Largest case of corruption with regards to kleptocracy. So the kleptocracy unit under the FBI seizes assets which have been obtained illegally or, you know, using money laundering, etc. And it is the largest, by far, the largest case of corruption.
How much is it?
I think there have been several cases. The initial one was $1 billion. I now think it has gone over. They've identified more assets used or money laundered and abused. So it's gone far higher than $1 billion. I'm not sure the exact number at the moment.
Wow. All right. Well, I mean, good luck with that. It would be nice if the people of Malaysia actually got some of that money back, wouldn't it?
Yes. So there's a big question mark there. You know, what happens to the money once they seize it? No point in returning it to the government. So it's a big question mark, you know, what happens to those assets.
Well, Pramesh, it was really a pleasure to meet you at the conference in Bonn, the Global Media Forum. And I thought when we got back here, it would be a good idea to contact you and find out about the similarities between South Africa and Malaysia. And it is a pleasure to speak to you again. I hope that we'll continue to communicate and keep us informed about what's going on in Malaysia and the rest of that region.
Yeah, very glad to be on the show, Cliff. All the best. I'm sure you've got heaps of challenges with freedom of expression in South Africa. Good luck to you.
Indeed we do. Thank you very much, Pramesh. There we go. That's Pramesh Chandran, who is the co-founder and the chief executive officer of MalaysiaKini.com, which is the top independent online media institution in Malaysia, reaching over 5 million readers monthly in four languages. Quite something, huh? Mm. How much did you know about Malaysia before that? Not a lot is the answer.
Evidently.
This is CliffCentral.com.